The Secret Origins Podcast, episode 24.
Welcome to episode 24 of the Secret Origins Podcast. We have now been going unlimited for a while. I am your host, Dio Jam Mike, and joining me is Lupus Convoy. Hello, sir.
Hello, sir.
Today, sadly, we will be reviewing the final three episodes of Justice League Season 5. So, how are you, sir?
I'm not doing too bad. How are you doing?
I'm still here. I'm still alive. I guess.
Oh, God, I've got a song in my head now.
I don't even want to know. Just, all right, yeah.
The end song from Portal, dude.
Well, I've never played Portal, dude.
Sacrilege.
I don't have a next-gen system, so if it's not on PS2, I wouldn't have played it.
But have you even heard the song?
No, I don't think so.
Still alive? No?
I don't know. I might have.
Why didn't you say yes, otherwise I'm stealing your
game? I don't know.
Okay, we'll fix that on the break.
Oh, God. Lovely. Lovely. All right. Let's see. Yes, this will be the last episode of reviews that we'll do, and then episode 25 will be the final show for Secret Origins Podcast. Kind of sad that kind of nobody has left us feedback on iTunes at all.
It sucks.
Well, I'm
heartbroken.
It's like I told you last time. We've kind of done this for ourselves just to be able to talk about Justice League and be able to watch the stuff and talk about it afterwards. So, I don't know. So I think without any further ado, we're going to get into some episodes.
That machine is Thanagarian technology. It's a telepathic database. More complex than anything on Earth. And it's broken.
She might be right. When I touched it before, the feedback.
Hush now. Watch and learn. Years ago, two Thanagarian law officers found themselves stranded on a primitive planet. This planet. Katar and Shayera Hall used their technology to make the desert bloom and build the greatest city on Earth. The people loved them, and despite their protests, worshipped them as gods. For decades, their ever-growing empire was a utopia. But nothing lasts forever. At least, nothing good.
Our armies are victorious, my liege. They continue to bring the gifts of Thanagar to the rest of the world.
Hathset. I wish to speak to my husband. Alone.
As you wish, my queen.
First up, we've got ancient history. Green Lantern chases the gentleman Ghost, but the Ghost gets the upper hand until Hawkman intervenes by capturing Ghost with an inf metal reinforced net, negating his ability to escape them. Lantern grudgingly thanks Hawkman for help, and he departs after making the request that he tell Shayera that he said hello. Shadow Thief witnesses this encounter and begins his plan. At the Metro Tower, Shayera and Vixen are working out in the rec room. The two women toy with each other over Lantern. Shayera half jokes about not knowing the proper protocol about getting John back. John enters as Mary is leaving, and the two set up a date. But before Mary leaves, Shayera throws her back her water bottle. Knowing that Shayera joked about poisoning your water, As she leaves, she throws the unempty water bottle into the trash can outside the rec room, not wanting to take the chance of drinking poisoned water.
I seriously doubt that Shaira, in that 2-minute window that the scene changed, I seriously
this is
doubt.
Shaira. Can't give her enough credit.
That's true.
However, John is preoccupied with something else as he asks to speak to Shaira alone. Hawkman's reappearance is commented on as an encounter with her stalker boyfriend, but Shaira seems unconcerned by Carter's return. The next day, Mary is off to a photo shoot.
Mari. It's Mari. Mari.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Ugh, bloody English. Next day, Mari is off to a photo shoot she's off to a photo shoot, although she catches Shadow Thief facing through the wall into the apartment as she's about to leave, that she shares with John. She and John battle him, but it takes a step up after Mari is knocked out. In the end, John is beaten and taken hostage, and Shadow Thief announces he's after Shaira next, and he tells Mari to stay out of it. Shaira and Mari head to the Midway City Museum to find Carter. Shadow Thief thanks her for coming to him and saving him the time that it would take to find her. The two women battle him unsuccessfully, and as Mari tries to free John, gets thrown into the next room and ends up buried underneath a collapsing T-Rex display. He then manages to throw Shaira into a wall, but she keeps falling before finally stopping on the floor 2 levels down. Hawkman arrives, but he's unable to beat the Shadow Thief. Shadow Thief takes both down, and he binds them up around the Absorbicron, the same memory interface that gave Carter Hall the memories of Katar Hall. The memories led to Carter Hall's claim that he is a reincarnation of Katar and Shaira is the reincarnation of Shaira, a pair of Thanagarians that were stranded in ancient Egypt and became local deities as authority figures. John, Shaira, and Carter awaken to the Absorbicron and Shadow Thief, forcing their free hands to touch it. A memory flashback has begun where Katar and Shaira are shown being welcomed as royal and religious figures in Egypt. Katar is bent on bringing the benefits of Thanagarian advances to this land, whereas Shaira wants to have a child. He insists that it will have to wait, but it is then that Bashari returns, announcing another success in the field. He also brings horses as a paid tribute from this new land. Shaira comments that the horses are unnecessary for her due to her wings. He offers to show her, and they ride horses through the city, then the aqueducts, and finally to the desert before stopping near a watering hole. He drinks from the cistern, then she does, but she spills all over her face. He wipes it off her face, but she grabs his hand before he can let go. She removes her headdress, and they kiss. Hath Set had followed them, and after he alerts Katar to this interlude, Katar refuses to believe his wife and his closest human friend would do this to him. He observes their return, which seems friendly at first, but when they kiss in front of him, he smashes the section of the balcony railing. He mutters about wishing that they were dead, and Hath Set takes this as literal. The chamber attendant runs away from Shaira's room later, screaming, and Katar grabs her for a moment before going into the room himself to find her and Bashari dead. A poisoned wine had killed them. Heartbroken, he seizes her limp body in his arms before Hasthet arrives, announcing that it was done as he commanded so. Katar yells at him to leave, and the priest looks mortified, now understanding that Katar's jolly comment was in haste, not truth. Katar drinks the wine, too, after the priest leaves, and the last sound before the flashback nears its end is the clattering of the wine glass. It's then that the linked hands of Katar and Shaira, which mirrors the sarcophagus they were entombed in together. The same tomb where Carter found the bodies and the Absorbicron years before. Shadow Thief then reveals why he's doing this. He is the incarnation of Carter Hall's deepest, most unspeakable desires, the perennial villain to the reborn hero. He captures Shaira to reunite them and captures John in order for Carter to regain her by killing John. Carter instead frees John. John makes a splint with the power ring, and goes after Mari. However, he does share the bittersweet momentary stare with Shaira. They still feel for each other, maybe even still love each other. John gets to Vixen, while Shaira and Carter battle the Shadow Thief. Carter realizes the only way to beat the thief is to deny him battle, to reintegrate him. And so he does, then prepares to bid Shayera farewell. He holds her chin after he comes over to check on him after the absorption. He admits that they were not meant to be together, and she is left to herself again. Back at the Metro Tower, Vixen is recovering, and Shayera comes out to find John at the window. He finally tells her about her time, the time he and Batman went to the future. He tells her about their son, Warhawk, but then contends that if they are destined to be together, it will be on their terms, not fate's, and for now, he's staying with Vixen. Later, Shayera visits Batman while he's working alone in the computer lab. Sitting down beside him, she makes a simple request: tell me about my son. Your thoughts, good sir?
Blackest night beats brightest day.
Okay, speaking from a comic geek reference, yes, I'm liking Blackest Night more than Brightest Day so far.
But just hearing, what was it, Gentleman Goat? Who said that? No,
it was Shadow Thief.
Shadow Thief had said that, yeah. Yeah, Shadow Thief had said that. Last chance, Zoo Candy. This is between me and the Green Lantern and that Thanagarian Harpy.
Did you know any other Thanagarian Harpies?
Oh, well, there always was Parandul, but anyway. I do have to bring up that the whole scene with Bushari and Shayera, that was actually lifted animation from Wild Cards. It's actually the reverse of when John and Shayera kissed in the Wild Cards episode.
Is it?
If you watch it clearly enough, you can see it's almost the exact same thing where he lifts up her helmet in Wild Cards and where he lifts up her headdress in this. It's not exactly the same, but it's close enough to where they kind of lifted a little bit of the movements from it, which is very, very interesting. That fly-in upside-down move Shayera did was, wow, that was just awesome. When she flew in upside down and smashed Shadow Thief, oh, man, that was great.
This is a really good episode.
Yeah, it is a really, really good episode. There's so much action in here that it's like, wow. GL staying with Mari. Bruce Timm has said that there would be no way of redeeming John if he dumped Mari to be with Shayera, and the way that he sees it, they will be together at some point down the line. And that's what was on the... if you watch this final disc, it has the special feature of... I think it's Justice League Chronicles or something where they take a few episodes from this last season and they talk about them. So that's where I got that from. And then, like you said, to close out the episode, tell me about my son. So what did you have for this one?
Oh, let's see. Gentleman Ghost showing up.
Yeah, awesome, that was character. Pretty cool.
I like him.
Yeah.
The Carter Hall, like, talking to John was incredibly forced. Oh, they couldn't stop us. Ha ha ha. We make a great team.
Yeah.
Even John's like, yeah. Okay. Anyway. I love the spat between Vixen and Shayera. That was just great.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
And then, what was the quote I had? He's in a obsessed fanboy with wings and an axe. Yes! Yes! Oh, God, that was perfect. So Vixen is essentially thrown into the mouth of a T-Rex, passed through it, and ends out through the pelvis. And then eats her again! I thought that was just epically awesome. I mean, I feel bad for Vixen, but okay, so this is not comics. I understand this. I do have to say, however, that because I do like the comic origins, as convoluted as this is, of Hawkman and Hawkgirl, and the Eternal Love, because I'm a sucker for that. I'm a little upset that Hastet really wasn't, like, the comic Hastet.
Well, the thing about Hastet, if you listen, and the thing about Katar in the flashback, they were going for oh, these are reincarnations of Grohl and Krager.
Oh, I didn't even...
Hector Elizondo voices Hatstat. While, what the hell's his name? While while Katar is still voiced by James Remar, but I mean, he has the same type of feelings that Hro had in Starcrossed for Shiera.
Mm.
And everybody thought that Hastet was the Shadow Thief. Hastet is just a complete and utter outright red herring in this. He has nothing to do with the actual outcome of the story. But everybody got fooled. And like I said back when we talked about Shadow of the Hawk, I kind of knew after seeing this a couple of times, obviously it had been a while since I'd seen these two episodes that tie together Shadow of the Hawk and Ancient History. But when I watched Shadow of the Hawk, I was like, oh yeah, that's right. His Carter Hall is kind of like Peter Pan. His shadow got separated from him, and in this, his shadow is all his evil personality traits.
Oh, I just...
What? You know,
the whole comic, I like what they're doing in the comics right now with they're breaking the curse of being in love with each other but never being able to be together.
Mm-hmm.
And Hastet, his reincarnation, is working with Shire's mother.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's very convoluted but very cool.
I could never get... I mean, as much as I love comics just in general, I could never actually fully get into comics at this point because there's so much history, there's so much continuity, and there's so many continuity fuck-ups everywhere.
Oh, God, yeah. Everyone's reinterpretations and...
Yep.
Retcons.
Yep.
What else do I got? They're very good at being able to use different visual cues in this to get away with, like what we said in the earlier seasons, in the first season with the red blanket with Aquaman. And we've got the same thing happening with the red wine.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not blood, kids. It's wine. It's alcohol.
But that's all I got for this one.
Yeah, this was just because I was kind of weirded out how they spaced the episodes. Like they had Shadow of the Hawk, and they had all the other episodes in between it, and now they pay it off here at Ancient History. I mean, technically, the Shadow of the Hawk is part one, and Ancient History is part two of the story. I mean, that's technically what it is. I mean, I see now why they did that though, is because it's been a few months since Shadow of the Hawk happened within the continuity of the cartoon. But, I would love to just watch these, be able to have an option on the DVD to watch these two episodes back to back. I think that would have been really cool if they had put that way. Or if they had released even a single disc DVD with these two episodes on it. But just this overall story was great. I absolutely love it. And just hearing James Remar in the DCAU is just amazing.
I wish we could have a third part to see what was going to happen, but
well, we know what's going to happen. I mean, they created Warhawk, so I mean, we know eventually.
I'm telling you, it's just a one night fling.
No, there's no.
Sorry, we'd be pissed.
No way. There's no way there would be a one night stand. No way.
They could have gotten drunk. She could have taken him back to that bar. Bar brawl. You know, things happen.
No, dude. Just no. No way. All right, so we're going to move on.
I'm about to become a god. You don't know what a god is or what you are unleashing.
Tampering with forces beyond my ken and so forth? Nice try. If you want my power, make your move. Otherwise, you can get lost.
You will regret your decision. We all will.
Twinkle, twinkle, brainiac, Talha's gonna bring you back.
Ah! I'm coming. Your new lord and master. It seems I have you to thank for my resurrection. Though your world will suffer slowly, I grant you a quick death.
Next up, we have Alive! Oh god, I've always wanted to do that. At the Legion of Doom's base, Lex Luthor is attempting to reactivate the soul piece of Brainiac, but it fails once again. Surprise. Tala urges Luthor to simply give up, but he tells her that this is science, and something that she doesn't understand. Tala counters that transmutation is exactly what they need, so Luthor allows Tala to work her magic on the One Piece. It fails to revive Brainiac, but it does allow Luthor to see a vision of where Brainiac's asteroid was destroyed. Using this knowledge, he orders the Legion to begin modifying the base. Once the modifications are complete, the Legion is assembled in the meeting room. Toyman asks to know what's going on. Luthor explains that they will help him recover some pieces of Brainiac from outer space. Goldface is quite hostile to the prospect of Luthor becoming more powerful than them, but Luthor says that they will be rewarded by being his lieutenants in the new order. He also causes Goldface pain with a device in his belt as a reminder that he is already more powerful than they are. When Atomic Skull asks what their plan is, Luthor reveals that they have modified the Legion headquarters into a spaceship, with the cloaking field being a hyperspace field. In this cage, Grodd becomes aware of movement as Tala enters. She wants to release Grodd and kill Luthor. Assembling other dissidents, Grodd demands that Luthor turn the base around and surrender. Soon a massive fight breaks out among the members of the Legion. The Grodd loyalists are larger in number, but the Luthor loyalists are more powerful. Grodd finds out that Giganta escaped from prison and is very mad that he tried to fry her brain. Ultimately, the Luthor loyalists triumph. Luthor himself engages Grodd in combat. Even with the enhanced metal gloves, Luthor is no match for Grodd's brute strength and is nearly beaten to death. But he taunts Grodd as a mindless brute, goading Grodd into unleashing his telepathic powers, which is what Luthor had been waiting for. With the touch of his belt, he turns Grodd's mind control powers back onto himself, making Grodd an unwilling puppet. With no choice but to obey Luthor's commands, Grodd kneels and calls Luthor his better, and then loads himself into an airlock. Luthor bids Grodd farewell, then releases him out into space.
What's funny about that scene is that Luthor releases his mind control on Grodd after he puts him in the airlock.
I feel bad for Grodd, actually. Anyway, Luthor prepares to execute the remaining mutineers. Killer Frost earns a reprieve by stepping away and doing it for him. The only other one left alive is Tala, who begs for her life, pleading insanity. Smiling, Luthor tells her not to worry, that she still has an important part to play. Arriving at the coordinates, Luthor sets up the collectors to bring in the debris which houses Brainiac's essence. Luthor plans to use Tala as a mystical conduit to bring Brainiac back to life, a process which will kill her. Once they are ready, he orders Toyman to throw the switch. However, time is momentarily frozen as the entity Metron appears, urging Luthor not to go through with what he's attempting, saying that it'll have consequences for the entire universe. Luthor dismisses him, saying that he's on the verge of godhood and nothing will stop him. Back at normal time, Toyman throws the switch, and Tala crackles with energy, shrieking in agony. As a figure appears within the smoke of the containment device, a triumphant Luthor exults to the Legion, "Meet your new lord and master." The smoke clears, and there stands Darkseid. He thanks the horrified Luthor and the Legion for resurrecting him, saying that while Earth will suffer, they'll be granted a small mercy, a quick death. With that, Darkseid destroys the Legion's base. On Apocalypse, the forces of Granny Goodness and Wilhelm Wunderbar are preparing for a last battle for control of Apocalypse. As the female Furies lead Granny's army, Vundabar's army charges under Kanto and Mantis. Before they can reach each other, a massive explosion occurs in front of both armies. As the light fades and the smoke clears, they see Darkseid, who teleported to Apocalypse without the use of a boom tube. Shocked at the sight of their dead master, and fearful of his wrath, both factions quickly regain enough of their wits to bow down and repledge their loyalty. When Bernadeth asks for Darkseid's commands, he tells them that he is temporarily halting his search for the anti-life equation to take vengeance on Superman by destroying Earth. Kanto respectfully reminds Darkseid that to attack Earth would break his pact with Highfather and invite retaliation from New Genesis. Darkseid, however, is not concerned with reprisals. Once he's finished with Earth, New Genesis is next. The Legion informs the Justice League of their little problem. At the Metro Tower, a staffer runs into the control room, telling Superman he needs to get out to the front door now. As Superman and other members of the Justice League head outside, they discover Lex Luthor and the remaining members of the Legion of Doom. As Luthor announces, they have a little problem. Your thoughts, sir?
Me? I'm going to be a god again.
No ego there.
Flying Legion of Doom headquarters. Awesome.
And nobody saw that? Seriously? Are they sleeping on the watchtower?
I know, exactly. Why is my headquarters moving? I demand to know what's going on.
Oh, which is awesome.
Holy hell, mutiny on the Bounty. And then lots of action. Just ton of action. And the thing about this one is, Bruce Timm actually pointed this out in that little special feature. This is the only... I mean, Task Force X was a complete view from the villain's point of view. But this episode is just a complete supervillain episode. It's nothing but villains fighting each other for the most part. Once we get to that point where Grodd and Luthor's forces separate. And it was just amazing. I mean, yeah, the heroes come in at the end, but they don't really do anything. I mean, it leaves it on a cliffhanger. I actually thought the cliffhanger was coming at the point when Darkseid blew up Legion of Doom. I completely forgot that he had gone back to, like, that the episode continued and then he had gone back to Apocalypse. I forgot all about that. Now bow down to me.
I kind of have to wonder, how exactly did Mantis get from Earth back there? Did he get sent back by Boom Tube?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. When, what was that episode? Wasn't that,
The Clash?
Yeah, The Clash. They sent him... Yeah. They did send him back through Boom Tube. So, yeah. Bruce Timm had said in the special features on this disc that Tala maybe gave one last screw you to Lex by bringing Darkseid back instead of Brainiac. I'm not too sure of that, because while Tala, she's just a tool. I mean, let's face it. She switches sides more than you flip a pancake, for Christ's sake. Also, Darkseid comes back with Brainiac infused within him. This leads me to believe that when Brainiac and Darkseid blew up in the Twilight episode, that they were truly one, just as Lex and another version of Brainiac were. So, if you remember all the way back to Twilight, when the Brainiac head exploded, Darkseid was still there. Because we have not seen Darkseid since Twilight. Darkseid was laying in the rubble in the Brainiac head.
That's so true.
Yeah. So that's why I'm betting that it was a combination that what we got here in Alive, it's a combination of Darkseid, obviously, but he's got Brainiac parts all over his body.
Which explains why he's headset, why he was so powerful.
Yep. And then, of course, we have a little problem. Oh, man. What about you? What do you got for this one?
Oh, let's see. Yay, we get to see Goldface again, because, you know, the enemy of my hero is always welcome to be seen.
I have a problem with that scene, though.
The fact that, remember what happened to Goldface. his face gets melted off, he's in pain, and then, like, later on, he's back to normal.
Yeah! Like, I thought he died, for Christ's sake.
Yeah! Way to make an example out of someone that apparently didn't last. Let's see. Tala needs another boyfriend. I put that at the beginning of the episode. Like, she just is treated like crap by Lex, the monkey. She needs to get somebody.
The one thing I wanted to bring up about Tala is they mentioned in the special feature on the disc that these episodes are on in the complete series that Juliet Landau, who voices Tala, just basically brought a Natasha Moose and Squirrel voice to Tala.
Which is awesome.
I know. I was actually hoping Tala would say, he's like Moose and Squirrel.
Oh, baby.
I know.
Just like, really? Did she just say that?
Yeah, I know. It's so crazy.
Oh, what else do I got? I've got, No, again, nobody saw, you know, this giant spaceship going out using the cloaking field instead as a warping field. So obviously they weren't cloaked. No one saw this?
I know.
Is
that...
Mr. Terrific totally sleeping up there?
Apparently so.
What else?
Maybe he's playing with his T-balls. Oops, I mean T-spheres.
I'm not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. Okay, maybe you could explain this, but why was Killer Frost and Toy Man fighting? Like, is there something between them that I don't know about? Or is it just that Killer Frost...
Toy Man was on one side at the time, and Killer Frost was on the other.
Yeah, but...
But what happened was, they were fighting, because they were each on a side. But by the time Luthor had killed Brainiac, and you had... Luthor killed Brainiac. Luthor killed Grodd. You had all of Grodd's cohorts and then all of Luthor's cohorts, and Killer Frost was in the middle. So she's
I agree with that, but like she was vindictively going after him.
Well, not really. She wasn't really. I mean, she wasn't like vindictively going after Toy Man. I don't think they have a
creepy little man.
I don't think they have a past, but I mean, the whole point of what happened was at first they were on two different sides, and then Killer Frost realized, oh, well, I need to be on the winning side. Whoosh! You know.
I have to agree with her, though. He's a creepy little guy.
Yeah, Toy Man is a creep.
Oh, God. Like, even the way he talks is enough to make me go, yeah. Oh, we got to see some badass monkey foo.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I was all depressed because, you know, no more monkey.
I'm so... As much as I love Powers Booth voicing Grodd, I'm so glad Grodd is gone because...
I'm going to turn everyone to monkeys.
I know. That's all Grodd's plan has been. All the time he's been in the Justice League, it's either kill the Justice League or make everybody monkeys. Oh, God.
Yeah. So we get to see the little gauntlets that Luthor had.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't help but think, did he get that idea from, like, Diana?
The gauntlets. Oh, the gloves.
Ah.
No.
Come on.
No. Diana has bracelets of steel. Those are gloves of electromagnetic whatever. There's but a big difference there. There's a huge difference there.
What else do we got? Poor Tala. Like I said before, when watching this episode, I was like, oh, I hope something happens to her. I wish she straightens up or something. I want something bad to happen to her. I didn't want something that bad to happen. Poor Tala.
Yes.
So, where was Metron before? Like, seriously, like, he's going to combine with Brainiac and become a god and destroy the whole universe. And where was he then? Where was he in any of these other times?
But see, the thing is, if you're looking at it within continuity-wise from Twilight to here, like I was saying earlier about Darkseid and Brainiac being one, that's more of a threat. I mean, yes, I'm not discounting what happened in Divided We Fall in Panic in the Sky. That was obviously a great threat. Luthor and Brainiac were going to remake the universe in their own image. But Darkseid wants to destroy the universe. I mean, he's looking for the anti-life equation, for Christ's sake. He's looking to destroy all hope, love, peace, everything. So that's an even bigger problem.
I don't know. I think being eaten by a computer and made monotonous to not have any emotions is kind of similar. I don't know. It's just randomly like this guy shows up. I'm Metron. Hey, are you the watcher? you're like the pervy like alien guy that just sits there and watches everything.
Oh, God. You know what would have been so much I mean, I don't discount Daniel Day-Kim voicing Metron. That was a cool voice for that character. It would have been so much better if it was Alexis Denisoff or is it Anthony Stewart Head? Anthony Head that was Giles and Buffy.
Anthony Stewart Head.
Yeah. Be one of those guys as the Watcher.
Sure. Sorry, but if your name's The Watcher, you're going to get all sorts of jokes made about your name. Let's see. So the problem is, how did Lex survive? Mind you, I didn't see the next episode, but Lex, how did you survive?
Wait, you haven't seen the next episode yet?
I did.
Okay,
but
all right.
At the time when I wrote this.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Then what else have I got? I've got Darkseid, seriously? Oh my god, what the twist!
Yeah, that was... Because I was thinking that they were going to bring back Brainiac again. I honestly thought, when I first saw this episode, I honestly thought they were going to bring back Brainiac. And then it shows up as... I'm like, oh fuck.
It was very much like the, oh my god, what's this? What?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's all I've got.
Yes, so we are going to move on.
She's got a point. We'll need all the bodies we can throw at this. Oh, come on, it's Lex Flippin' Luthor. Why should we trust him?
Hey, it's Onworld 2.
Let's be clear about this. We're not here to help you save the world. You're here to help me get revenge on Darkseid. When this is over, it's back to business as usual.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
You get all that?
Yeah. You guys sure about this?
Trust but verify. Put the bad guys on teams with regular leaguers.
Search through the telemetry on the attack groups. Find the best protected mothership. That's where Darkseid will be. That's where I want to go.
I imagine so. It's in Metropolis, hovering over the Daily Planet. Stand by.
And finally, to end the Secret Origins podcast, we end with the super awesome episode, Destroyer. Lex Luthor and the surviving members of the Legion of Doom arrive at the Metro Tower. Warning them of Darkseid's impending invasion, a small flashback explains, when Darkseid destroyed their headquarters, Sinestro managed to shield them with his ring. They stole a mother box from a rescue party headed by Light Ray. After delivering their message, the League announced that they're locking up the Legion as several prepare to fight back and an emergency message arrives. Boom tubes open all over the world and the Apocalyptian fleet appears. Soon releases parademons and ground troops. The Legion insists that they will be allowed to fight alongside the League. They may be criminals, but Earth is their world too. Batman agrees, saying that the League needs all the help they can get. Superman and Wonder Woman are reluctant to go along, but Luthor announces that he isn't saving the Earth. As far as he's concerned, both Justice League and the Legion of Doom are little more than tools to help him achieve his revenge on Darkseid for taking Brainiac away. Superman reluctantly goes along, but Wonder Woman orders that the villains fight in mixed teams. Mr. Terrific, handling the central command from the Watchtower, sends out an Omega-level alert to the entire League. A series of cutscenes shows various Leaguers preparing for battle and being teleported away. Superman, Batman, and Luthor confront Darkseid at his command ship, hovering over the Daily Planet building in Metropolis. Darkseid tells Superman that he intends to make Superman suffer by watching his adopted world die before killing him, adding with a smirk that Superman's last words to him before their last standoff, "Let's go." As the battle progresses, the Apocalyptian forces set up huge drilling machines designed to dig holes straight to the Earth's core, creating fire pits that will make Earth another apocalypse. Mr. Terrific orders them taken out at all costs. The Leaguers destroy several, though Shayar is badly wounded. Over the Great Wall of China, a middle-aged Asian man tells his wife to find cover and reveals himself to be John Jones, who joins Wonder Woman in battling Darkseid's parademons. In Metropolis, the battle royale between Superman and Darkseid has destroyed much of the planet's building, while Luthor and Batman hold off parademons. Suddenly, Metron appears to Luthor, who demands a solution. Metron offers him one, and they both disappear. Metron takes him to the Source Wall, beyond which contains the only thing that could stop Darkseid. Metron warns that only a 12th level intellect could survive the journey through the wall, but Luthor only claims that I'm overqualified. Luthor flies through the opening in the wall and seeing a great light and screams. On Earth, Darkseid appears to be winning when Batman staggers him with a flying kick. Darkseid, astonished that a mere mortal would dare to strike him, he prepares to kill Batman, but Superman, who now has his second win, knocks Darkseid through the wall for the first time in their acquaintance. Darkseid is uncertain, maybe even afraid, as Superman approaches and says, "That man won't quit as long as he can still draw breath. None of my teammates will. Me, I've got a different problem. I feel I live in a world made of cardboard, always taking constant care not to break something, to break someone, never allowing myself to lose control even for a moment or someone could die. But you can take it, can't you, big man? What we have here is a rare opportunity for me to cut loose and show you just how powerful I really am." Wow, saying it like that almost brought me to tears. Holy crap. Ugh. Ugh. And with that, Superman hurdles his entire body forward and delivers a single earth-shattering punch that sends Darkseid flying into the air and through several skyscrapers. With his speed, Superman is waiting for him on the other end and knocks him to the ground. Darkseid decides he's wasted enough time in hand-to-hand combat and traps Superman in a torture field called the Agony Matrix. Oh, boy. I wish... I'm betting Galvatron wish he had that right about now. Come on. You know you want to laugh.
I'm trying not to.
Matrix of agony. While Superman lies helpless, Darkseid draws a knife with a kryptonite blade intending to cut Superman's heart out. Then Luthor appears, having returned from the dimension Metron transported him to. Luthor holds up the only thing in the universe Darkseid wants, the anti-life equation. Darkseid takes a hold of it, and both he and Luthor disappear in a blaze of light. With Darkseid apparently gone, and Apocalyptian forces retreat from Earth, but Batman says that one day they'll probably see both Darkseid and Luthor again. Wonder Woman announces that it's time for the villains to go back to jail. Atomic Skull objects, saying they helped the League save the world. Batman agrees to give them a 5-minute head start. When the League makes it clear that the concession is all they are offering, the Legion turns and runs. Finally, the entire expanded League sets off after the villains as the adventure continues. Alright, so... okay, out of all the emergency teleportations, I love questions the best.
He just keeps slowly walking with the steam up around him.
And also, question using his car as a weapon. That was just awesome.
I'm thinking, not the car, not the car! Oh!
Oh, man. Why is it that the Daily Planet globe always gets destroyed in battles? Oh, man. Why is it every time that they're in Metropolis, the Daily Planet globe is always the thing that gets destroyed first?
That's just how it is.
I have to go help. I know. What the fuck? And then, of course, later. I'll bring that up later. Okay, Parademons just threw a spear into Shire's wing. They are real. No harness here, damn it. That's for you.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, see? Told you they were real. Okay.
Sure, how would you know?
Yeah, anyway. Shire gets electrocuted. Yow.
Oh, poor Shire.
Batman dodging Darkseid's Omega Beam was just amazing, but Superman taps Darkseid on the shoulder. Excuse me, thwack. Just punches him right in the face. That was awesome. And then, get away from here. It's not safe. Don't worry, I'm here to help. And then all of a sudden, you see this little Asian guy punching people with the strength of Superman, for Christ's sake. And then, of course, it is revealed that Jean is back. And I love that.
I really had no clue who the little Asian dude was.
Really? You had no clue?
I had no clue. Like, I didn't know if they were going for this whole, like, really obscure heroes around the world were coming up out of nowhere to, you know, back up the Justice League.
Yeah, I'm not sure because when we saw Jean leave, he was Detective John Jones. He was in the form of Detective John Jones. So I'm wondering, like,
how did he get to China?
Yeah, exactly. And as far as like all the little spots, the one that I noticed the most of all the heroes showing up and fighting besides Question was Zatanna turning a few parademons into doves.
And putting them in her hat.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. Parademons go boom, and that was in reference to Batman outmaneuvering Darkseid's Omega Beams. That was
cool. I know.
That was way cool.
I did not really expect that at all. And very ironic considering he didn't outrun them in the comics.
Well, you know. As much as I like to see that, you've got some business with me first. Sorry it took me so long, but I had to go get my power suit.
And he's dressed in the business suit that fits him so well.
Well, it's the what's so ironic about this is since I'm trying to remember here. Since we haven't seen the power suit since Superman the Animated Series, I don't think. Because I don't think he has ever worn the black power suit in Justice League. So it was a nice homage to see that again, to see Luthor in his suit from Superman the Animated Series. 5 minutes, 5 minute head start. 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 50 seconds.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
What do you expect out of Batman's girlfriend?
Yeah, that's true. And speaking of girlfriends, yuck. Giganta is hot, but remember, she was originally an ape. Then again, I guess we were all originally apes. But still, she kisses Flash, and it's like, all I can see is that picture that Grodd showed us back in the episode that we first met him. Mm. Head start, you're getting soft in your old age. Don't you have a tall building to go leap?
Yeah, that was...
Oh, damn, that was so hilarious. And the adventure continues. And before you start with your notes, I have to point out, you said that it was kind of... You said on Facebook, when we were chatting on Facebook, you said that it was kind of a meh ending for you. For me... What? Well, no, for me it wasn't, because... The reason why it's not a meh ending for me is if you take Epilogue, and I know that Epilogue was at the end of the previous season or whatever, but if you take Epilogue and you put it after this, the adventure continues. So the League is going on up until the point of epilogue, because even in epilogue you have that flashback scene of Batman, Shayera, and Dr. Light. So the adventure continues. It was like the fight keeps going on, so you'd never know what animated adventures would happen between Destroyer and epilogue.
True.
So that's why I loved it. That's why I love the ending of this episode. So what about you? What do you got? Oh, really quick. I have one more note. I got this from the wiki. Although it is not made clear in Destroyer what happens to Luthor and Darkseid, Dwayne McDuffie has stated that they were both absorbed into the Source Wall. Now, why I can see this happening is because Darkseid's face is all over the Source Wall.
Did you catch the other faces that were on the Source Wall, though?
Wasn't Luthor's face on there?
I didn't catch Luthor, but I did catch something that was very interesting. So if you look really carefully, there is something that looks exactly like Galactus from Marvel. And next to it is a face that looks disturbingly like MODOK from Marvel.
Yeah, you're right.
So I'm like, is that intentional?
Oh, yeah, I see Galactus, and, yeah, I see MODOK as well. Huh. Yeah, but he flew in through Darkseid's eye.
Oh, I've been blinded. Okay, so what else do I have? I have poor Light Ray. Poor guy, like, tries to help them out. Bitch slapped, beaten down. Poor guy. Yeah. I mean, not that he was that great of a character anyway, but still.
Well, the reason why he was a great character for me was because he was voiced by the great and awesome Rob Paulsen. But anyway.
What else we got? Oh my god, the blue demon. I did not see them popping that guy up at all. And then it's Lex flipping Luthor. That was to hear Supes say that. It was like, oh, okay. Huh. Someone's a little upset. Then what else? The transformation for ice.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. And then who's there?
Fire.
Oh, look, it's Fire.
And I have to say, Fire in her non-flame-on mode actually looked like her flame-on mode. It didn't look like she was some female bodybuilder this time.
Remember, she's Brazilian.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. What else? I have also got... they even bring in Hawkman.
Who, yep.
Like, wait, he's a League member now?
Well, he's probably one of those associates.
The ones that, okay, we'll bring you in, maybe.
When we need you, yeah.
Let's see, who else? A Green Lantern Trebuchet. Yes. Yes, frick, yes.
Green Lantern what?
Trebuchet. That wasn't a catapult.
Oh, well, it looked like a catapult.
But it's a trebuchet, and it was so awesome. plus, come on, it's like a heavily built construction out of GL, which is still awesome. As you said, the wings are attached. What is up with the Nerf darts? Like, what does he put in those to make him go boom?
The Nerf dart? Oh!
Yeah.
Maybe they're grenades, and when he fired them, firing them made the pins leave the grenades? I don't know. Not a lot of Toyman's toy weapons make sense.
It was very, I don't know, disconcerting. Because I have friends that use Nerf guns on me all the time, so it's like, ah. let's see. Oh, way to go, Metron. All you had to do was take out Lex. That was it. Instead, look what you did. Let's see. So, just to bring out the literary geek in me, when Superman is being tortured by the Agony Matrix, I'm thinking, where the hell is Lashiel? Where is Lashiel when we need her? And for those that don't know who Lashiel was, she was one of the fallen angels that was put inside of Harry Dresden and was trying to corrupt him. And one of the gifts that she gave Harry was the ability to shut off pain. So the entire time I'm thinking, where's Lash? Where's Lash when we need her?
I got to say, though, the Agony Matrix, I would not want to be in that thing. Holy crap.
The way he described it was just like, oh, wow.
No, not even just the way he described it, just the way that it showed. I mean, it lit Superman's skull on fire that it was red. Oh, man, Superman was a red skull. Oh, my God, there's another crossover.
I know, we got plenty in this episode. What else? So his whole speech about, oh, I can finally let loose. How many times have we heard that out of Superman? Seriously, well, like every other episode.
And this was supposed to be the penultimate thing of him letting loose. I mean,
well, it would have been more effective if they didn't say it every time they come across poor Darkseid.
You're sympathizing with Darkseid?
Dude, he's stuck with Lex Luthor for eternity. Yes.
Well, I don't know. I actually looked up on the wiki what the hell the goddamn anti-life equation was. Because every time I've seen this episode, and it's because it's a comic thing, I wouldn't know. But every time I saw this episode, I'm like, why is he constantly looking for this thing? What is it? And it basically is what I said earlier. The reason why Darkseid is a bigger threat than Brainiac is because he is looking for this anti-life equation, which is the opposite of the Martian life equation, which was to bring people more peace, love, happiness, all that good stuff. And the anti-life equation obviously is going to take all that shit away.
Yep. Makes them basically the mental slaves for Darkseid.
Yes, exactly.
So, did you catch the beheading?
Yes.
Like, seriously, beheading. And then the careful placement of the head to make it look like it's just on the ground, like the guy's knocked out. No, that went straight through the neck.
Yeah, that went straight through.
Let's see, 12th level intelligence. So does this mean that Lex is on the same level as Brainiac?
I would assume so, since he bonded with Brainiac, for Christ's sake.
But I'm talking about, like, Brainiac from, like, Legion.
Oh, you mean Brainiac 5?
Yeah.
Well, Brainiac himself, the computer program, obviously is a 12th level intellect. And you know what I just realized?
What?
Oh, God, Superman fans are going to kill me for this. Lex Luthor is where Brainiac got his
component?
What? Yeah. So, oh, my God.
That means that a Luthor and a Super are in a relationship together?
Supergirl and Brainiac 5 dating and eventually having kids? Oh my God, that goes against everything Superman. Because if Brainiac got his what the hell did they call it? What is Brainiac 5? Damn it, what did they call it? Not nanotech. He's living tissue. He's not robot. So
carbon based?
Crap, I forget. I'm gonna have to look it up. Keep going with your notes. I'm gonna have to look this up.
So the last three to leave, which I thought was a nice touch, was the Trinity. You've got Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman leaving last. Though we did have a lot of characters that didn't show up in this.
Yeah, the Trinity thing was awesome.
But where was, like, all the really obscure characters that we had earlier? Where was Aztec?
He was there.
Was he?
Yeah, he was one of the ones on the teleporters.
But he wasn't in the... No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was one of the ones on the emergency teleporters in the Watchtower. I remember seeing him. He wasn't in the end scene of them coming down the stairs, but he was in the episode. Trust me.
Okay. That's all I got.
I'm trying to think. Brainiac, let's see. That explains that he's one of the good guys, though he is somehow... He's organically descended from the original evil Brainiac of Krypton. He's organic. I just found another way to piss off DC fans and Transformers fans at the same time. Brainiac 5 has an organic core. He's transorganic.
So you could get it on with Sorry.
Ooh, that's not cool, dude.
When she's older.
Oh my god, that's so wrong. But yeah, I mean, if you think about it, if Brainiac got his DNA parts, his organic parts for future copies of himself from Luthor when they merged, and you think about Brainiac 5 and Supergirl having kids, a Kryptonian and a Luthor having children.
They're going to hate themselves.
Why is it somehow I'm flashing to the argument that Brody brought up in Mallrats about Lois Lane not being able to carry Superman's baby because her uterus isn't strong enough?
It's true.
I know. I'm just saying.
No, artificial insemination.
Oh, my God.
What?
Oh, God. Oh, man.
It's true. Like, turkey baster, that's all it's going to take. Of course, the poor kid has, you know, his superpowers kicking early, you know. I can feel the baby kick. Oh, my God. There's a
going to kick right through her stomach. Oh, God. But, yeah, Destroyer was just awesome.
It was a good wrap up to the season that wasn't as epic as the season before.
Well, and like I said, obviously if you look at it as I said before, where Epilogue obviously is the wrap up of everything, and unfortunately back then they didn't know they were going to get picked up for an additional 13. So the way I view it is Epilogue should. Whenever you watch Epilogue, it should be right after this episode. It should be right after Destroyer. So, but yeah. So, we're going to head to the outro, and we'll be back after this.
You might want to ease up a bit there. Most guys don't really go for the ripped, bulky look.
Just trying to maintain my girlish figure. My girlish figure. And why does it always have to be about the guys anyway?
Honey, it's always about the guys. And since I'll be away on that photo shoot for a week...
Here we go.
Well, I'm just surprised you haven't made your move before now.
Still trying to figure out the proper Earth protocol for this situation. It's not like I can just assassinate you in your sleep or poison your water. I'm Miss Thanagar.
I'm just saying. You think you got a shot? Take it. I'm not worried.
Mari, look, this isn't...
There you are.
Hey, stranger. I was thinking we could skip the concert tonight. Just stay in and order takeout. What do you say?
That'd be fine, Mari. Whatever you want. I need to talk to Shayura for a sec.
Oh, okay. See you tonight, then.
Oh, Mari!
Thanks. Really not worried.
Still try to fight. Can't you see that it's hopeless?
That man won't quit as long as he can still draw a breath. None of my teammates will. Me?
I've got a different problem. I feel like I live in a world made of cardboard, always taking constant care not to break something, to break someone. Never allowing myself to lose control, even for a moment, or someone could die. But you can take it, can't you, big man? What we have here is a rare opportunity for me to cut loose and show you just how powerful I really am.
So that's it for the episode reviews.
Now you get to deal with us in our fan fiction. And we'll keep doing it until somebody finally puts up a review.
I don't think so.
We're trying to scare them into leaving. We tried being nice.
Yeah. So thank you for listening to the Secret Origins podcast. There's always get in league with us. Lovely. Get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each episode post. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Just as a note on iTunes, after episode 25, if we ever get any iTunes reviews on this show, it will probably pop up in some special announcement or something that we may come back and thank people for iTunes reviews. But seeing as how we've never gotten an iTunes review for this show, as far as I know, at least the U.S. store, we haven't. So, but yeah, you can leave feedback on iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter. The show name there is Secret Origins. Mine is TFG on Mike. What is your Twitter?
Caminiti Style. CaminiTistyle.
Become a fan on Facebook. Search Geekcast Radio Network, or just go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Secret Origins podcast, and we'll show you join us next time when we will be recapping Justice League Unlimited Season 5 and the series on a whole. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Lupus Convoy.
Until next time.
Be ready for them.
Meanwhile, it's past time that Luthor's partners in crime were locked up.
Wait a minute! We help you guys save the world and we don't even get any consideration?
You're right. 5 minute head start.
5 minutes? Are you kidding?
4 minutes, 50 seconds.
I should be back in time for dinner. I love you too.
These are the end times.
A head start. You're getting soft in your old age.
Don't you have a tall building to go leap?
And the adventure continues.